Welcome to the Married with Channels podcast. I'm Moose.
Hi, I'm Jody.
Game of Thrones, episode 8, season 2. This was a night something. I forget the name of the title. A night something or other.
Oh, you didn't remember the details. That's what that makes me feel better. Yeah. It's like, oh, should I know these things?
I've been trying to do some other things for this podcast and failing miserably, but that's for another time. So this episode was a lot of kind of setting the stage, getting everybody all warm and fuzzy so that next week we can get ready for people to die. We'll be more emotionally devastated when they die.
Yeah.
Like that scene around the fireplace.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Could that be any more rah-rah, sis-boom-bah, like, I love you, man. All that's missing was literally, I love you, man.
Yeah, like, that looks like a good bar to be at on your last night. I don't know.
I know. They need to have, like, a bar or a pub that kind of looks like some sort of a medieval...
Oh, yeah,
traipsed, that'd be cool. Like, off-the-beaten-path type of, you know, some old guy and his... Some old widower and his young daughter run the place. You know, like when the Hound and Arya stopped in for a drink and they ran into the
pub, the tavern.
The king's Knights Landing,
yeah.
Soldiers, knights or whatever.
Yep.
And he just started killing everybody.
The chicken episode, right?
Yeah, the chicken episode.
Yes.
Something like that that doesn't actually involve people getting killed. That would be cool. Anyway, back to the episode.
Yes.
I don't know if Brienne... And Jamie, is that a thing? Or is that like just a, almost like a, they're the real brother and sister? You know what I mean? Like, are they gonna F word?
No, I don't get that from them. I think they admire each other. And I think that they've respected each other and treated each other as equals.
Yeah, this is true.
Like, she, by all accounts, is a very skilled fighter, enough for them to, spoiler alert, knight her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was that ever mentioned that a knight could knight somebody? I always, as long as I don't study medieval history, but
sure.
Any movie,
yeah,
textbook, it always seemed like only the queen or king could do that.
But wasn't that mentioned with... Like the Night's Watch or something? Or is that different?
Oh, I think that's different.
Okay.
I don't think that's the same deal. But okay. I don't know. Maybe that's a thing. Maybe. Okay, so let's just go with it.
Sure, sure.
Jamie makes her a knight.
Yeah.
She is Sir Brienne of Tarth.
Yeah, I was like, way to smash that glass ceiling, lady.
I know.
Good for you.
The sad thing is it's probably going to come about a week before... She dies.
Ugh.
Either she or Jamie are going to die. I actually think that they're going to die together. No,
really?
Not them. I'm sorry. Let me back up. I think Brienne, you know how Tormund, Giantsbane, the big redhead wildling,
yeah,
loves her so much?
Yes.
She has not been reciprocating any of his, we'll say, flirtatious behavior.
She doesn't because I think, you know, she's just kind of brought up with class and... doesn't quite know what to think about this wildling. I mean, he's so, like, wild. I mean, let's talk about that scene, because he was hilarious chugging
right.
the horn of beer or wine, whatever it was. That was so great.
It's almost like they did that part, like, as he started drinking it, so it could be a meme.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, you know, when you're tweeting out to your friends, I got so wasted last night, there's that little gif.
Oh.
Of Tormund in the the drink falling down his beard and his front.
I don't know. I think it just kind of attests to the wildlings. Like, they're wild. They, you know,
yeah.
They just are a free people that, you know, wear fur and belch and drink and fight and have giants. And
I think, though, he suckled on a giant's wife's boob.
That story was so bizarre. I was like, wait, what?
You know what I thought he was gonna say is like Giant's Bane, like he's got a big old dick down there.
That's what I thought too.
That's where I thought he was going.
I know.
That is not where I don't know if anybody saw that coming. But
well, can we just back up just a tiny bit and for maybe people who don't understand what's happening at this point in the story. It's like a your last night on Earth. So they've gathered in this place with a fireplace and they're all drinking. And so I just think that's funny that that's how they chose to spend their last night on Earth, you know?
Oh, totally. But I think the way it's going to end for Brienne, I think it's going to be her and Tormund. They're battling.
Yeah.
And somehow they get kind of caught in a corner, rock in a hard place.
Together.
And it's like, it's we're going to die. And he's going to kiss her and they're she's going to be like, and then just go with it. And then they fight and die. I think they're going to die together.
Yeah. I like it. He's just like trying to drop all the hints in the world to her too. Hints. Like
it's so yeah, he's so subtle. I like he shows up at Winterfell. Where's the big woman? Is the big woman here?
Yes. Yeah.
That's just a funny ass character.
Oh my gosh, yes.
I would like to, you know, they're doing Game of Thrones prequels. I would like to see one with Tormund or something around that. Like how did he become a wildling? He's obviously a great character. So who wouldn't want to see that origin story?
Hmm.
You know, see him before he grew that big ass beard. So what else from this episode? Oh, Arya getting her freak on.
Yeah, so
getting it on with Gendry.
I like how she sat down with the Hound. And what's the other guy's name? I'm terrible.
Beric Dunnarrigan? Okay. The guy who's died seven times.
Yeah,
because of the eye patch guy.
Yeah, the person with the eye patch. And doesn't he have like a sword that goes on fire?
Yeah, it lights. Yeah.
Cool.
Flaming blade.
Anyway, I like how she was like, it's maybe our last night on Earth. I'm not spending it with you two.
Right, right.
And then she goes to flirt with Gendry.
I know. As soon as she started taking her gloves off, I'm like, oh, she's going to get some.
Oh, they started fighting like they were married, and I was like, oh, there's some tension there.
But you think about Arya and how she's never gone through the adolescent teenager things, right? She was probably 10 or 12 when the show started. I think her character is about the same age.
Yeah.
And she just knows, like, you know, climbing trees, then all of a sudden she's having to survive as a 12, 13-year-old.
Well, and
she never had the first kiss. She never had the boyfriend or, you know, whatever, courting slash, you know, what's the quinceañera type thing for the medieval slash Game of Thrones world.
Well, she was never the lady like Sansa. And from the beginning, that was apparent. You know, she wanted to learn to fight. She's a fighter and she's a killer, you know, and she's killed a lot of people in her short life. And then, you know, the whole... What's it, the mini-face god, or what's that character called? The mini-face god?
The guy?
Yeah.
Jakar.
Okay, then that, you know,
Jakar Noir.
Time with him.
Him and his clone.
You know, I think in a life, she's matured exponentially in light years. You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally, so. But she's matured, but it's kind of like... It's kind of like Michael Jackson in a way. You know, he never had a normal childhood, so he tried to reclaim that, so to speak, in his adult years with his Neverland Ranch and his, you know, cotton candy parties or whatever.
What are you talking about? Why are we talking about this?
She skipped. My point is, much like Michael Jackson, she didn't have, you know, a good prominent part of her childhood.
Sure.
So now she wants that.
I don't agree. I don't think she's going... back to her childhood. She's probably not that old.
I'm not saying going back to her childhood. I'm saying getting those things that you get and do as a child or an adolescent, which is
what age she is, right? Probably.
She's about 22, I think.
What? Nuh-uh.
The show's in its eighth season. And there's about a year or two between each season. She's about 22 years old.
No, I would say 17, 18. You said she was like 10 and 8 seasons. That makes 18.
Well, I said 10 or 12. I mean,
well, even still, 20 at the most. Like,
how old is Arya Stark? I'm Googling it.
Why?
Because I want to see.
Okay. Well, anyway, I think it's matured her and made her brave. She's not afraid of anything now. And It's kind of apparent in that dialogue that they have.
Okay, you're right. What? She's apparently 18.
See?
Okay.
She's still a horny right. teenager going to do that.
You got your right, okay?
Okay, thanks.
Just take it and put it,
well,
pin it to your sleeve.
Yeah, so let's talk about the knife throwing. I want to learn some knife throwing now. That was sweet.
Jesus, she is badass.
She is. She's fearless, and she...
That's left-handed, too. Is she left-handed? Oh, maybe she is, because she was shooting the arrow left-handed, wasn't she?
Yeah, probably.
Okay.
Left-handed!
Well, I was thinking she's right-handed, and therefore that left-handed is pretty good for somebody who's right-handed. Anyway, yeah you want to throw knives?
Yeah.
I know, that was cool.
It is cool.
You know, it's funny, when we were at your mom's house this weekend, there was a squirrel on the feeder.
Yeah.
I thought about opening the window and throwing a screwdriver at it.
You could kill it!
Well, he's on the bird feeder.
No! Don't kill it. That's so brutal. What is wrong with you?
The squirrels must die.
Oh,
man. They must know their place. They must know their place in this world, and it is not on the bird feeder. I have spoken.
Calm down. Calm down.
I didn't do it because I was too tired.
Yeah, so back to what we're supposed to be talking about.
It's okay. We can go on these little...
You're going on a lot of them.
No.
Michael Jackson, squirrel brutality.
I'm relating it to the knife throwing thing.
Well, we have lots more to talk about.
Okay. Well, like what? What do you want to talk about?
Well, let's see. So they spent it having sex. Giant Spain tried to get Brienne to have sex, but they all got drunk. And
Podrick's got some pipes.
Yeah, he was singing around the campfire like.
There's also the
bonfire and guitar.
There's the I saw a tweet. It's like Podrick, like, hey, the world's ending. Podrick says, I'd like to bust out my SoundCloud tracks now. But Sansa and Daenerys.
Yes.
That relationship continues to be interesting.
Yeah, they had almost like a sister-in-law moment, and look at us, we're both girls, and we're awesome. And
yeah, at first it was like, BFFs, yeah. Then all of a sudden it's like, ooh, this got awkward quick. Well,
and I don't know, like, maybe it's their culture, but I just thought it was weird anyway. Like, if I put my hands on the table, that is not an invitation to hold my hands. In fact, I'd be like, don't hold my hands.
But look at the context. It's not like, you know, you're sitting next to somebody and you're both eating your dinner and then all of a sudden they put their hand on yours. It's they're having a heart to heart. Danny's leaning in on the conversation. It's like kind of like, sweetie. Yeah, you know, let me touch your hand. It's not like she's rubbing it and like, you know, sucking her finger or something.
I know, but no, that's not what I mean about it. It's just it's kind of almost like a power thing. Like,
yeah,
I can. Oh, they're there, sweetie. You know, like, aren't we great friends? And
yeah, maybe it's a power play.
You know, kind of like,
Yeah, maybe that is like a, whether Danny knows it or not, that's maybe a power play on her part. And maybe she did know it because when she pulled her hand back, it's like, oh, this isn't working.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Yeah, Sansa said, you know, what about the North? And she quickly turned pretty cold and then they hated each other again.
She's like, the North. Oh, is that my phone ringing?
Yeah.
I don't want to answer that. So.
Well, then they got interrupted.
Yeah. Oh, shout out to Ghost. Is it Jon Snow's direwolf? He had a brief moment.
Yes.
Just standing there.
It's such a pretty dog.
It is. He didn't seem as big as they normally do.
Oh, really?
Normally those direwolves are like, God, about the size of a tiger. Big ass wolves. Big dog.
They're so pretty.
Dumping all over Winterfell.
Oh, man.
So yeah.
Are the horses.
We didn't see Cersei in this episode.
No, she was mentioned, but don't know where she's at. Can we talk about, so at the beginning of the episode, Jaime's on trial in front of all of them.
Yeah.
I thought it was interesting, Bran's comment to Jaime, It was kind of snarky. Do you remember what he said?
The things I do for love.
Yes, the things we do for love.
You know what that is, right?
Yeah, it's a nod to what he did, pushing him out the window. Yeah, yeah. But what was interesting about that comment for me is in a previous scene, I don't know if it was the last episode, you know, Bran states that I feel nothing. Like, he doesn't emote.
Right.
So for him to kind of be kind of a smartass about it was kind of interesting.
Maybe a little out of character. Well, like, just, if he was now the three-eyed raven and not, like, I know, but he's still got some humanity in there. Like, he still recognizes his brothers and sisters, and I don't think, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
I could see what you're, I know what you're saying. It's just, I don't know if it's off-putting or not fitting of the character now.
I mean, he's supposed to be kind of this wise, knowing person that helps them with strategy to defeat this enemy. And you know, he's vulnerable. They have to take care of him, you know. I don't know. It was just interesting that he showed a little snarkiness there. Like, oh, that, I thought he didn't feel anything anymore, but
I don't know. Maybe and I forget what line came before that would inspire him to say that. Maybe it was fitting of that conversation. And it just so happens, like, oh, that's also what Jamie said when he pushed him out the window.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't remember that preceding line, but I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
It was interesting that Bran explaining the Night King and his motivations.
Yeah.
Because I've seen a couple theories that Bran is actually the Night King. So that kind of, this episode blew that out of the water, I think.
Yeah, I don't know if I would agree with that theory.
It's kind of, I mean, these theories, there's a lot of threads there that can make it sound like it would work, but, you know, a lot of them are thicker and thinner than others.
Hmm.
But regardless, Bran essentially said, he's coming to kill me.
Sure.
Because he kills me and it kills all of, like, humanity's memories.
How? Like, what? Bran,
I don't
controls
know.
All of those people?
No, I think,
in their memories?
I'm guessing here, but I think the Three-Eyed Raven is kind of maybe partially responsible for, you know, the past and people accessing their memories in the past. So it's one thing to wipe out humanity, but it's another to wipe out its ability to remember. Boom.
But if they're dead, they don't remember.
Yeah, well, there'll probably be some. But, you know, if they kill everybody at Winterfell, let's say the White Walkers destroy everybody, and it's just Cersei and her people waiting. You know, I guess if they kill the Three-Eyed Raven and Bran, Cersei and them, maybe they won't have memories or something. I don't know. I know it's all deep stuff, man.
Okay.
I'm super high right now. Can't think of that.
Whatever. No, it just didn't make sense, because if everyone is annihilated and dead, then they don't have memories anyway.
You know what? It's one of those things you're like, okay, we'll just go with that.
Okay.
You're the memory guy.
Sure.
You're the RAM.
Okay.
You're the 128 gigabyte RAM.
Sure, sure.
Bran the RAM.
Oh, man. So, let's see.
You got your notes.
I do. I have to.
Jody's opening her notes.
I took
notes for Game of Thrones.
I have this horrible feeling that, you know, they're putting all the elderly and children in the crypt, and I feel like something really bad's going to happen, and I'm going to cry about it.
Yeah.
And it's going to be sad.
I heard that from somebody else, too. They think everybody in the crypt's as good as dead.
I mean, they just kind of said it a lot. And there were, you know, arguments about key players being there, you know.
Like Gilly and...
Yeah, and...
Well, they got that
Sam.
Little...
Sam.
They got that little girl with the scar on her face. They're going to be fine. She's a badass.
And Sam ended up down there with them. And then
is he down there?
Well, they at the when they're singing the song and they play, you know, what everybody's doing on their last night on Earth.
Oh, yeah.
He's laying in bed with Gilly and their kid.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So he's down there now. I don't know if he'll stay. Maybe he just was there until the horns blast or something.
Maybe.
I don't know.
But it's a crypt. Isn't that inherently secure and hard to get into?
I mean, I don't know, but it's full of dead people.
Is it, though? So that's what I was confused about that when I was talking to somebody else today about it. Down there with the Ned Stark statue and, you know, John's mother's name. Anyway, Lyanna Stark?
Catelyn.
No, Lyanna. The real mother.
Yeah.
Are there bodies down there? Or are those just kind of monuments?
That I don't know.
Okay.
But I...
That's because somebody else mentioned, like, well, the Night King going to bring them back to life? Yeah. So you have headless Ned Stark coming after Jon Snow?
I don't know.
Or maybe we'll see Lady Stoneheart. You've heard of that, right? In the books, Catelyn Stark is brought back to life by the Lord of Light, by Derek Dondarrion? I can't remember his name. The flame sword guy.
Okay.
And she is on like this path of badass vengeance. It makes Kill Bill look like, you know, strawberry shortcake.
Hmm.
So it's like a zombie Stark.
Weird.
Yeah. But anyway, so they're down there in the crypt.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what's the question, the big question, that we don't know about is the Melisandre, the Red Witch. She's supposed to be coming back. She told Lord Varys when she was cast off or sent away that he and her are both going to die. I think at Winterfell is what she said.
I thought she had already arrived there.
No, she hasn't been in this season at all.
Okay.
No mention, no, you know, image of her, no, nothing.
Hmm. I don't know. She's not really a key player for me, so.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But she's kind of the, what's the term I'm looking for? Not question mark. But she's kind of the, the X factor.
Huh.
Is, you know, she said she's going to be there. She's going to die there along with Lord Varys. But we haven't seen her yet, so. Is she going to light some shit on fire? You know? But anyway.
I don't know.
What else from this episode? It was just a lot of talking and a lot of, and I mean, I don't mean that in a bad way.
Yeah.
But it was a lot of good, like, they're really getting you ready to be sad.
Yeah.
Next episode.
I don't know. I thought some of it was kind of cheesy. Like, you know. I don't know, but you had a nice tribute to your last night on Earth. Like,
yeah.
So I was going to ask you, what would you do on your last night on Earth?
Oh, man. Last night on Earth.
Or how about your last meal choice?
God, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't have the capacity to really dig down and get those answers right now.
I think I'd probably be, tucking my kids in, staying with them. Just holding them. Hopefully you'd be there too.
I mean, probably. It'd probably be just, you know, hugging you and the girls and, you know. I mean, if it's like a nuclear blast thing, yeah, you know, something like that. But if it's some sort of like Army of the Dead's attacking, I'm going to try and defend.
Yeah.
You know, my peeps.
Yeah.
My ladies. But.
Would you be drunk?
No.
I'm just thinking those guys get talking, chatting, and drinking there. Are they gonna be with it to battle? But they're kind of seasoned veterans, right?
They didn't seem really drunk.
Yeah.
I mean, a jug of wine split between six people.
Yeah.
You're not gonna get too drunk off that. You might get a buzz.
I know. It was kind of cool, like the camaraderie, like you said, like they were telling old stories of their days and battles and, you know.
Totes.
But then let's talk about that awkward moment also when John told Danny who he really was.
Yeah,
and then
I like
how shit hit the fan.
I like how she was. She was like, "Look, you heard that from your brother and your buddy.
Yeah,
so whatever." You know, it's like she's not buying that.
Yeah.
But damn, that show, they cut right to the, is that when the horn went off?
Yeah.
We didn't really get into the meat of what she thinks about that. What's going to happen with that information? It's just like, oh, well, you are.
I thought she looked a little crushed when she realized that he would be the heir to the throne. I thought I could see a little glint of like, I just got punched in the stomach because I'm not getting what I want.
Yeah, I could see that.
A little bit.
Yeah, she, I took it as she didn't really know how to process it.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe leaning on the side of disbelief because she's almost making excuses. Like, yeah, but you heard that from your brother and your boy.
Sure.
So, I mean, until I see it on the paper, you know?
But then he kind of convinced her, no, it was in the books at the Citadel. And
yeah. I don't know. I think she was still kind of the figurative sense of her mouth agape and kind of like, what? You know? And then the horn went off.
I
don't know. I'm curious to see how that'll play out. I think the way it'll work is I think Daenerys, Jon Snow will be the king. I think he'll survive the Night Watch or Night King and all them.
Yeah.
He'll be the king. You know, they'll reveal it. But he will probably die in whatever confrontation with Cersei and her men.
Really?
I think. And then she will eventually be sitting on the throne.
Oh, but will she be sad about it because she lost?
I think she will.
John.
I think she will.
You think she really loves him?
I think so. I don't know. They've got some sort of thing going on there.
Huh.
I don't think they really care about the auntie nephew thing.
I guess not.
I don't think that's a big deal. I think she's more concerned about the crown. I mean, think about it. She's been raped and you know, walked through fire and traveled how many miles on horseback and, you know, servitude to a certain extent, sold off. Her brother essentially traded her. All because she wanted to be the queen.
Hmm.
So I think that's definitely weighing on her more than the, oh, I just humped my nephew. Awkward.
Yeah.
Yeah, but next week will be the big one. Get ready. Grab the tissues. Because some of your favorites. If they die, okay, that'll be sad. I don't want to see them as White Walkers.
Oh, interesting.
I think Theon's going to be a White Walker.
Really?
I see that happening.
Do you think, like, Sansa will have to kill him, or is it not that type of
what?
Story? Like, like some other shows that we watch, like, on The Walking Dead, a lot of times their loved ones turn into walkers, and they have to
Oh, you mean like,
you know?
Daryl putting his brother down?
Mm-hmm.
Can't think of his brother's name.
Yeah.
But I think there'll be some of that.
Yeah.
I don't know how you can't go too crazy with that.
Yeah. Like not too paired up and matched.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oops,
oh,
sorry.
Look at that. Samwell had to put down zombie Jon Snow. Oh, now Sansa had to put down zombie Theon.
Yeah. Too matchy-matchy.
Yeah, it's too.
Yeah.
Too cliche.
Sure.
I mean, if you did it once, fine. I think that's kind of expected to a certain extent. But anyway.
Yeah, they decided to spend their last night on Earth together, Sansa and Theon, by the way.
Yeah.
No, I think they just went through something really horrific together with Ramsay Bolton.
Yeah. And he saved her.
Yeah.
So I think she's in gratitude for that.
Yeah.
And, you know, before he became a shithead and conquered Winterfell, you know, he grew a pair of balls before Ramsay cut him off.
Yeah.
You know, he was a part of the Stark family.
He was
essentially her brother.
Another kind of interesting twist might be the whole Jaime Lannister thing. Like, they made a kind of a big deal about showing that he really was kind of a good guy. He answered Sansa's questions kind of the right way and kind of made them turn. And then Brienne stood up for him and really kind of laid it on about, you know, here's how good Sir Jaime is, you know. And then there was more of that when he went to Bran. It's like he's walking through 12 steps or something. Like he went to Bran to make amends and you know, give his apologies. And
yeah, he cold turkeyed Cersei.
Yeah, totally. But the twist might be, do you believe him? Do you think it's true?
I don't know. It's funny you mentioned that because when he was knighting Brienne, I was thinking,
I know.
What if he cut her head off?
I know there was some tension for me. I was watching that and I was like, is he going to slice her neck?
I know. And then it's like, no, he wouldn't do that to Brienne. Yeah. But if he did that, that would be like one of those, oh my God. And you could see maybe it happening and him kind of having a pained look after he did it, like, but, I'm sorry, but I had to do that.
But why? Because then wouldn't those guys all in that room turn on him, especially Wildling, what's his name? Giants?
Tormund.
Tormund, what's Giants Bane?
Giants Bane. They, yeah, but if he did that, there would be, I would, at least dramatically, narratively, I would think then Cersei and her army would show up at that moment and it would just be all hell breaking loose before the other hell broke loose. That's just my theory on that. If that went down.
Okay.
I mean, he wouldn't do that without a plan in place.
Well, so I don't know if that's kind of maybe to come yet. Maybe Jaime's going to betray them somehow, some way.
Or Cersei's going to show up with her golden army.
You know, what was interesting also is when he and Tyrion were walking and Tyrion said something about, you knew who she was and you loved her anyway.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know if him saying that in past tense is kind of indicating like Jaime's over her and sick of her crap and decided to fight for mankind and survival. That's more important.
I don't know. You know, what's interesting is last week's episode when Euron, you know, he humped her and then he grabbed her belly. He's like,
yeah,
I want to put a prince in your belly.
Yeah.
What we don't know is maybe he did. And maybe she's pregnant again. You know, I mean, thinking is that she told Tyrion last season that she was pregnant. She didn't drink the wine. And she, this season, drank the wine, and when he said, I'm put a prince in your belly, it by all accounts looked like she was tearing up.
Okay, we talked about that last time.
I know, but my point is, he might have, the Euron, put a... So, this season, I'm going by the thought that she no longer has the baby she said she had last season.
Okay.
So now, Euron throws a seed in her, and she's pregnant now, off screen.
Okay.
We don't know.
Sure.
Maybe she got pregnant with Euron and is now, because she's pregnant, she wants to protect her future child, ergo defeat the White Walkers.
Hmm.
You know, now maybe she's in.
I don't know.
I don't know. Just a theory.
I doubt it.
Can we move on to Barry?
Well, hold on.
Oh, okay.
We got to do, who the heck is that dude?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So I...
Can I go first?
Yeah, go first. It's not the same as mine.
Those little girls who... Missandei, you know, the former translator.
Yeah.
Grey Worm's girl.
Yeah.
The little girl, she said, oh, hello. And they just like looked at her with a fuck you and then meandered off.
That's awesome.
Those are my... my favorite extras of the week.
I like it.
How about you?
I'm going to go with the guy who spit off the balcony when Jaime and Tyrion were walking through kind of the courtyard area talking.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's like he didn't spit on him. He didn't spit, like, he wasn't, like, aiming to heave it at him, but he just kind of, like, spat at the ground, like, you're a piece of shit, you know?
Yeah. No, it was... Point. Message received. Yeah. That was good.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's some petty little bitches in this show sometimes. All right, should we move on to Barry?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, let's do it.
So Barry, I think we're in episode three, for?
Yeah, I don't
know. The episode's title was What? And we'll get to why that, what's there, why it's titled that. But the show is just so good. Yeah. I was thinking when it started this episode anyway, that Sally made up the whole Sam beat the crap out of me and choked me thing.
Yeah.
I thought that's what was going to be revealed.
Yeah, I kept waiting for that and I...
Because Sam seemed like such a nice guy and I guess that's maybe to put you at ease as the viewer.
Well, I think it's to maybe lead you down that path that maybe she did make this up. Why would she do that? Mm-hmm. And is she just an actress and she's playing Barry, you know? Like there was even that moment where she's crying to him and he's, you know, kind of consoling her. And I'm like, is she acting? Is she, you know, because she's an actress and I don't know if she cares about Barry the way that Barry cares about her, you know?
Yeah, I don't get what her motivation is to be with Barry.
Yeah.
It's not like he's a vivacious, super personality guy.
Yeah.
But I guess he's safe. I mean, that would make sense if she was in an abusive relationship. By all accounts, Barry's very timid.
Yes.
He's safe. There's not a lot of. Yeah, he's a good guy. There's no threat there.
Yeah. He's not violent.
But they.
To her, you know.
What made me think that, and maybe this is just the writing is good because the last episode, was it the last episode? Sally was FaceTiming with her friend.
Yes.
And the friend was not going along with the story Sally had in her head.
Correct.
Her friend was like, oh, well, I mean, that's what you told me, I guess. You know, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So jump to this episode, that plus their little dinner with Sam. And my thought is like, why would you go to dinner with the guy who was choking you? That being said, I've never been in an abusive relationship. So maybe she felt safe with Barry there with her. Maybe there's some psychological strangleholds this Sam guy has over her.
I think it's probably that one.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's probably way more complicated than I can understand. But yeah, that plus Sam being super nice and, oh, I'll buy dinner. Like, I'll get it, you know.
I think, too, sometimes you want to believe that people are capable of changing that. That they could come to peace with whatever it is that pushes them to that point of angry. Maybe you have hope that that person's going to change and not be like that, you know?
Yeah, there's a whole probably psychoanalysis podcast on that.
Sure, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It was interesting because I kept leaning more towards, did she make this up?
Yeah.
As the episode kind of painted him to be a good guy. But then it got real creepy when he is standing in the theater.
It was.
That was creepy.
It was. Yeah, and then the confrontation out in the parking lot.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, yeah, he's a dick.
Well, yeah. Then it turned like, okay, he's a little creepy, but he's definitely kind of a douchebag. Like, he was like, oh, I had her first.
Yeah.
Let's peel it off in his sports car. I'm like, okay.
Jody, that was a Chevy Malibu.
Oh, was
that
it?
That was not a sports
okay,
car.
Sorry.
That was like the rental from the airport.
Sorry. No. I didn't pay attention to what car it was.
Yeah. No, that's when you were, you knew like, okay, this guy's probably a dickhead who probably choked her and whooped her up a little bit.
Yeah.
But yeah, but they did a good job of kind of making you think, oh, I don't, maybe that didn't happen.
That tension too with her going then to meet him, I have something for you, come to my hotel.
Yeah.
I don't know why she'd keep going every step of the way. It's like, he's just baiting her, and then he just keeps moving the bait more and more and more away from her. And I don't know. It's just.
Yeah, maybe she never got help on that, you know, relationship wise. You know, go see a therapist to, you know, to tell her, like, here's how they're going to try and manipulate you.
Yeah, they probably make you.
And look for these things.
Yeah.
Maybe she hasn't had that help.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, and. I don't know. I don't begin to understand that. But, you know, so they, and maybe she felt like she's in a different place now. I can stand up to him if it gets to that point, I can fight back this time. You know, maybe she needs her redemption, because that was really weighing on her that she didn't fight back. You know, that's her whole conversation with Barry anyway, is that she never stood up to him.
Yeah.
And so it isn't really the truth. Her play isn't really the truth. It's what she wished she had done to him.
Yeah.
To kind of take back her power. So.
And I always thought she was kind of phony anyway. Like, she was just fake. Just in it for herself. And when they first started the show and she was kind of dating Barry, I was thinking she's just using him for some sort of emotional, like, emptiness she has.
Yeah.
And maybe that is the hole from the abuse or something.
Yeah.
But moving on to the hotel encounter. Wouldn't she or Sam seen him?
Yeah, because he was right there in the door frame.
He was right there. Yeah. So what, he just got super lucky that nobody was looking out the door when the door opened?
I guess.
I guess maybe in like a tense, almost heated emotional exchange, maybe you wouldn't notice something like that.
Yeah.
Because you just focus on not only the other person, but maybe the memories that are going through your head and those feelings.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, they did a good job building up, though. I really thought that he was going to start laying into her and Barry was going to kill him.
Can we talk about Hank real quick?
Yeah.
Is Hank a little bit too much? You know, the bald, no eyebrows guy who's got Barry on the hook.
You know, I was a little off-put by Cristobal. His outfit this week.
Well, it seems like every week he gets a little bit more oddball-y.
Yeah.
And out there. You know, like last week when they were trying to kill Barry from the rooftop.
Yeah.
And then they, I forget why, but him and his guy, who just got shot in the shoulder,
yeah,
just started dancing, celebratory. Yeah. And it's like, I get that he's odd and different.
Sure.
Okay, I'm there with
sure,
that.
Sure, sure.
But the fact that they're dancing on the rooftop,
yeah,
and that just seems a little kind of almost, not even Coen Brothers-y.
Yeah, just too much.
Just a little bit too much. And then this week, he's got the goofy hat and the zinc on his nose.
Yeah. His outfit was weird, too.
It doesn't ruin it for me. It's just a little bit, and this is kind of a different, slightly odd-ish show.
Sure.
But it just kind of, it distracts me a little bit.
A little bit. It kind of takes away from what they're doing.
I liked it better when Hank in the first season was more of just a really nice guy. He's a nice guy who's, you know, he's immersed in a criminal underworld. And hey, you know, we gotta kill these people. So Barry, you're my guy, man. I like you. I like that play on it. Now it just seems it's borderline cartoonish with Hank.
Sure.
But I just want to throw that out there and see what you thought.
Yeah, I thought the outfit was a little much and maybe a little bit. I think that he's probably going through changes as well, because now, you know, he kind of went from he wasn't the top man on his totem pole when we were first introduced to him, and now he kind of is, and he wants to make partnerships with other kind of crime mafia bosses, and he's kind of moving up. Yeah, Cristobal, he's moving up in the world, so maybe he's getting more flashy and flamboyant, and you know,
maybe he's feeling kind of like he can
ballsy, you know,
let himself loose a little bit more. Yeah, maybe so. Maybe that's it.
Yeah.
And let's get to the ending, which was great, which is the reason the episode's titled What?
Yeah.
Because Bill Hader's so good.
Yeah.
Like he's a good actor.
Yes.
And I love his comedic work on SNL, and he does good impressions, but boy, he nailed that reaction shot when the cop caught him. Because I think obviously everybody's watching that.
Yeah.
Oh, he's got him on tape. He's going to jail, prison for the rest of his life. Then the cop's like, essentially, I want you to kill my wife's boyfriend.
That, and let's back up just a little bit. The whole reason why Barry went there is he was so desperate to talk to somebody, anybody that he could feel safe to talk to.
Yeah.
And that was Fuchs. And Fuchs betrayed him. So not only is he maybe in a shit pot of trouble, but his kind of mentor and his kind of sounding board person, his person that he can talk to, his best friend, just betrayed him. And so you kind of see that look on his face too. Like, I don't even care what happens to me now because that was really shitty.
Yeah, but I think he'll resolve the Fuchs relationship. I think because Fuchs towards the end was like, oh man, I can't turn on Barry.
Yeah.
You know, he told him as much, like, don't come here. Don't call me anymore.
Yeah.
And he was trying to do that when Fuchs was out on the ledge trying to escape. But I think, you know, he's going to get down the rabbit hole of, you know, seeking out this guy's wife's boyfriend to kill. And him and Fuchs will probably still be incommunicado. And I'm sure they'll resolve that. You know, I'm sure Barry won't be happy, but.
What's interesting is the more Barry tries to get out of that life and be normal, the more he can't handle kind of that emotional turmoil that happens in normal life with relationships and people's baggage and, you know, all that stuff. And so then he keeps turning to Fuchs to talk to, and he kind of gets sucked back in to that life, you know?
Yeah, I wonder how much he's missing his old Marine buddy. Remember the one he killed in the Toyota RAV4?
Yeah.
I do love I love the scene with him and Henry Winkler.
Yes.
The what's his name? Gene. I'm looking up his last name now because I can never
remember.
But that moment, that scene was so nice. It was like a father-son relationship, and it was like you could see in Gene, this is what the father stuff he never did.
Yeah.
He couldn't do it with his son, Leo.
Yeah. But I also love his blunt reaction. Like, he, you know, Barry opens up to him and shares a story. And he's like, holy shit, don't ever tell anyone that story.
Yeah.
And that just cracked me up.
And the scene capper where after it's all done, he's like, okay, this is a different loan I build private coaching with. So
yeah,
it's like you had this sweet moment.
Yes.
And Gene Cousineau is like, this is a private acting session. I'm billing you for it.
Yes. You see Barry just get so deflated by that. Like, he really truly feels like he has no one in the world at that moment.
Did he get deflated by that? I didn't really think that really.
That's kind of the look.
Hit him too bad.
I thought he, like, I can't even talk to you about stuff, you know?
Well, it's interesting that Gene's son showed up with the strawberries.
Yeah.
Good for him.
I guess, yeah.
That was way better than last week's, like, hey, here's the keys to the lake house, and you can be my gardener.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Yeah.
So, anyway, on Barry, you got the Detective Loach?
Sure.
Character looking to get Barry to kill his wife's boyfriend. And
yeah.
Poor Barry's trying to get out of that life, but finds his way back into it. And I think that oddball detective lady, I can't think of her name, she's probably going to be the one who's going to have to kind of take the torch as far as figuring out who killed, what's her name? Moss?
Yeah.
Yeah.
His partner. Which he doesn't seem too broken up about. He's so consumed with his wife's infidelity.
Well, it makes sense because anytime you've seen Loach, I mean, you know, it seems like every other episode he's on the phone with her or he's at the Quintanera dress shop that is failing, you know, that he funded. And there's always something about his wife.
Yeah.
And some sort of even like a quick aside.
Yeah.
About how, you know, his wife's leaving him.
Yeah. Well, and back when Moss was alive, you know, he was like crying in his coffee cup about it still.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He was pretty broken up and, you know, and then wasn't he kind of cyber stalking or something in one scene? And so, yeah, it just keeps building with all these things revolving around his wife's infidelity. So, yeah, poor Barry. I honestly, too, you know, he's training the guys. He's training. What's the character? Hank's guys.
Yeah, yeah.
To be these trained assassins and killers and stuff. And there's one guy that shows real potential in Barry's eyes. I thought for sure he was going to kill him when he whipped out his gun and shot it. I was like, whoa, he killed him.
No, he got his attention, though.
Yeah. And everyone else is there, too, because they're all screwing around.
Yeah, it's a good episode.
It was.
It's a good show.
Yeah.
All right, should we wrap this up?
All right. Yeah, enough rambling on.
Yeah, maybe we'll do another one with Killing Eve's latest episode.
Ah, yeah.
Villanelle.
Yes.
All right, that's going to do it for this episode, this version of the Married with Channels podcast.
Yep,
the husband,
yeah.
Wife talking TV shows show. I'm Moose.
I'm Jody.
That's my lovely wife. We'll see you next time.
Bye.